again. Good morning. Good morning. How are we doing this morning? Let's see. I was trying to find a folder to put all of my my sermon in this morning, the second sermon that I printed last night at about 1, and I found this one, and it said, battle ready. Are you battle ready this morning? So I think this is going to be my new sermon folder now, so I'm going to have this ready here. Let's see. If we're going to be in the book of Luke this morning. But before we do that, let's see, get situated here. Set that there. There. All right, I think I'm ready there now. Appreciate all you coming out here this morning. I know some of you probably heard that Pastor Stephen going to be here this morning. So he went to the bullpen, and he called me, which I like baseball, so I like to use baseball references. Anytime I get to get called up, I was thinking it's been 7 months since I got to last come up to the pulpit and bring a message. And for me, that seems like a really long time. However, every Wednesday, I get to bring messages to the youth and in chapel at the church. But for some reason, when you're up here, it's a little bit different. And it's pretty awesome, so I look forward to it, and I get pretty excited about it. So what I did is, if any of you want to take notes for when Pastor Steve come back, I brought some notebooks for you, and you could tell him that you filled out this whole notebook with my sermon in it, and it would just make me look that much better, and then maybe he won't wait 7 months to ask me to come up. So if you want one of these notebooks, I have some extra up here if you'd like to take notes for that. He'll probably take that whole little notebook here. Let's see. I was watching, you ever watch that show, Undercover Boss? Yeah. I like the show. You know, it's Undercover Boss, and they have, usually they have a high-power executive, CEO, or somebody who's probably started this company that has been very successful. And usually the companies you know, and that's what I like about it. And one time I was watching it, and it had Roto-Rooter on there. Everybody knows Roto-Rooter, right? The guys will come out and they fix the stuff that your husband doesn't want to fix. Not that he can't fix it. We can. We just choose not to, right? Sometimes we're looking at that and we're like, no, thank you. I'll pay somebody to fix that stuff because I don't want to do it. And usually it's they dress down and they'll go out with like the technician or whoever it is they're going to. Well, in this particular episode, it was the guy who was the CEO of it, and he's going out there with the technician, and he's fixing clogged drains, and he's fixing broken toilets, you know, the fun stuff. And the technician is kind of unloading on him a little bit. And he's like, you know, we need to fix this about this company and this about this company. And the CEO, the guy at the top, he doesn't know what it's like to be down here with us guys who are in the field in the trenches, literally, in the trenches, and he just doesn't understand anymore. He doesn't relate anymore to what we're going through. And if you've seen the show, you know by the end of it, you're like, whoa, buddy, just stop talking, because you're talking to the man. And he keeps on, and he keeps on. And then he starts maybe saying a few things about the CEO, who doesn't recognize him, the wig and the funny makeup, which I'm not sure why they don't recognize him, but they don't. And then you're thinking, oh, just quit. And he says some stuff. He says some good stuff, but he says maybe some negative stuff, maybe some stuff that he would like the CEO to change. You know, if he really knew, he would change this or he would do this. And then by the end of this show, they call all the people down and like, oh, I wonder what's going on. I got a free trip. What's going on? One is either you're about to get fired or you're about to get a raise and they're going to do something. So the guy's in the room, and then the CEO comes in the room, and it's all of a sudden, it's like his eyes were open. He's like, oh, wait a minute. I recognize you. Who are you exactly? And like, well, I'm the CEO of Roto-Rooter, and sit down, we need to talk, right? It's like, oh boy. And so now the person is either one, horrified that he is going to get fired about a job that he complained a lot about, or he's a little nervous, but sometimes it really works out for their benefit. Because sometimes the CEO really listens to what they have to say. And they really want to make changes for them, and they really want to walk with them and make the changes that this person who's in the trenches sees every day on a day-to-day basis. Well, today, we find ourselves in that same situation with the text that we're looking at today. Here, Jesus was walking with a couple guys just like that. They're walking on this road, and here comes up Jesus beside them, and he just starts talking to them. And that's why one of my favorite songs is "He Walks With Me and He Talks With Me." That is probably my favorite song in the hymnal of the old song, because I really believe that he walks with me and he talks with me and he calls me his own. So especially any time before I bring a message, I like to hear that song, all right? So if you will, if you'll turn to verse 32, that's going to be the key message, or the key verse for this message. And if you will, chapter 24, I'm sorry, Luke 24, verse 32. I've been working on this sermon for days, so I just assume that you're where I'm at. I know, I was talking to Brother Ronnie about that. He said he spent hours on his sermon. I'm like, you know, I know, I spend like hours and hours on it, and it takes 30 minutes to deliver it. But Luke 24, verse 32, that's going to be the key verse for this message. When you find it, if you'll stand with me if you can. If not, that's okay. So Luke 24, verse 32, if you found that. Amen. All righty, they say, they ask each other, "Were not our hearts burning with us while he talked with us on the road and open the scriptures to us?" Amen. That's the key verse for today. You can sit down for that. I know. I had you stand up for that one whole verse. But thinking about that, I'm going to read the rest of the story for you. Because I think if you're going to read 32, well, you really have to read 13 to 35. Right? In order to get the whole thing. I don't want to take that one verse out of context. So I want to read the story to you. While you sit there. If you'd like to stand, you can, but if you'd like to sit there and listen to me read it to you. And it's on the road to Emmaus, and it says this. "Now that the day, two of them were going to the village called Emmaus. And about 7 miles from Jerusalem, they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And they talked and discussed these things with each other. Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, 'What are you discussing together as you walk along?' They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, 'Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there these days?'" It kind of sounds like the guys are Roto-Rooter, right? "You don't know what's going on?" And so, I like Jesus. He's so cool. He says, "What things?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped, that he was one that was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, that it is the third day since this took place. In addition, some of the women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it, just as the women had said, but they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish are you, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. But not the Christ had to suffer these things and then enter his glory.' In the beginning of the Moses and the prophets, he explained to them that he was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, they broke bread, they gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them." Kind of like Thanksgiving. They just broke bread and gave thanks. Amen. "Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They ask each other, 'Were not our hearts burning with us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?'" There's our key verse right there. "They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. They were found, and 11 of those who were with him assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen. He has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus is recognized by them when he broke bread." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Father, for
this account in the book of Luke about you walking with these two men and talking with them. Father, we just pray, Lord, that you would be with us here this morning as we dive into your word, into your scripture. We pray, Father, that you truly would walk with us and talk with us. We pray, Lord, that we would just be hungry to seek your word and your will and your way this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. These two had an encounter with Christ as they walked along the side of the road. And they had no idea who he was, which I find pretty amazing that God had kind of closed their eyes in a sense that they could be walking with Jesus and not know it. And I challenge you to say that sometimes you will probably find yourself in this very situation, that you'll be walking with them and maybe not know it. But as Christ read the scriptures to them, I could imagine what kind of Bible study this would be. And I've led some Bible studies. I've been in some Bible studies. This one has got to be like fantastic to have Jesus open the scriptures with you and just kind of pour through them. It would be awesome. So they encountered him. Little did they know that it was actually Jesus that they were with at this time. In verse 18, Cleopas responded and said, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about these things that have happened in the last few days. And Jesus was asking them, like, what are you talking about? If you could imagine walking on the side of the road and you and your buddy are kind of having, and you've done this before, you're having not really a gripe session, but you're having a conversation that is looking a little south. And then all of a sudden Christ comes up to you and you probably felt him smack you in the back of the head and like, what are you talking about? And you're like, all right, this is what I'm talking about. So Jesus asked, what things? And they began to describe Jesus and the things that he had suffered and his rumored resurrection at this point. So I could imagine how well that was probably going over, telling Jesus about his life. And Jesus began to reveal the scriptures, and these men spent the entire evening with him. To me, that would be an awesome Thanksgiving, to spend the evening with Jesus. And eventually their eyes were opened, and they saw Jesus for who he was. And then Jesus led them, and he said, as the men were there, and then they said, our hearts burned with us while he talked with us and while he opened the scriptures. And these men were unaware that they were walking with Jesus. So today's message, or today's sermon, today we're going to be talking about walking with Christ and walking with Jesus. These men said that their hearts burned with him when he opened the scriptures. And I looked up some of these words. I go to this kind of a cool website, and it breaks out Greek words, and it tells you the meaning of them. I cannot pronounce the Greek part of it. I have it written here, but I can't pronounce it. I try to, and I sound like a first grader trying to learn English. It's just not good. So, but when you look at the word burned, as they said it in this verse right here, our hearts burned, it's broken out of two Greek words. And the first one, it says, I was, and the second was set on fire. The two Greek words that come out of burn, it says, I was set on fire. And for me, and as I've been working probably in youth ministry for as many years as I have, is I have a desire to see the church, the Sunday school, the youth ministry, the children's church, is every ministry we have within the church just be on fire. Just be on fire for Christ. I mean, to see a young person or to see an adult to where you can tell that they've spent time with God and you can tell that they're reading his word, and man, they're just on fire. It's catching. It's like you want to be around that person. And I just see that here. And often as we do, as we get kind of used to being where we're at and doing what we're doing, and we do a lot of the stuff, which is good stuff, sometimes we promote new programs, and sometimes we resurrect old programs. Well, we tried this, let's try this again. We have revivals, which are fantastic. I love revivals. We have a Bible conference, men's fellowship. When Brother Larry Jordan came, it's like I couldn't get enough. I just keep writing. And my notepad is a lot larger than this one. And it's, I just fill them up, and they're bigger than that. But we do all these things. And I want it to happen, and it should happen. And it's happening here, and you can see it with the different things and different people that God raises up and the different ministries that are going on and the different talents that he's pulled together in this church.
But if we're going to be a church that is going to be set on fire for Christ, then we truly have to have that encounter with Christ. And it's going to take every one of us. And at different times, the different people will pull each other's up, but it's going to take all of us. And many of you, God bless you, whoever just sneezed, many of you have had that experience in the past, and you can go back to the first day that you got saved, and you got around your family, and you were just laying it on, right? You just didn't care what they think, you didn't care what they thought, you didn't care if there was turkey on the table, you wanted to tell them about Christ. And then you got a few no's. And then you got, well, yeah, I used to go to church years ago. And then that big, huge, burning flame that you had for Jesus is now this wee little campfire that you're just kind of cozy being around, right? And you're kind of cozy with sitting in the same pew the other day, and you come to church and you're comfortable. My pew is the fifth one from the back next to the light socket. That's how I know where we sit, because on the right there, Jeremiah put a flashlight and there's a light socket. So when I come down, I don't even count the pews anymore. I look. There's a light socket. That's my pew. Are you the same way? How do you know where your pew is? Do you have it marked by something, or do you actually count? Do you use a light? You use the light socket too? Good minds think alike. Me and Madeline, we use the light socket or the flashlight. I was glad to see the flashlight there. Now I'm following the light. I see the flashlight there. But for some of us, maybe, just maybe, maybe the fire has burned out and you don't really realize it, and you're just content. And you're like, well, let the young ones do it, or let him do it. He speaks so well. Or let her do it. She does. She's so well organized. And for some of us, the evidence that the fire has burned out is we maybe not realize it yet. We haven't realized that it has burned out. Some of us are still on fire. Some of us may not be. It depends on where you're at. And when that fire is burning, if you remember the first time you got saved and that fire was burning, you would pick up your Bible and you would just read it. And you would read here and you would read there. And you had a hunger to connect with the Word of God. You just wanted to know what it says. What did it say? What did it say? What did it say? A lot of people ask me, if I was going to start reading the Bible, where would I start? Open it. I always tell people, go to John. I like the book of John. If you've never read the Bible, I say, go to the book of John. You may say, go to the book of Mark or the book of Luke or start in Genesis. If you're going to start somewhere, I don't know, the book of John is a pretty good book to start in. It tells you about Jesus right off the bat. Start there. And then for the rest of you, when you have that desire, you have a hunger for his word and for his will and for his way in your life. It's no longer about your way, it's about his way. It's no longer about, I want to do this and I want to do this and I want to do that. It's like, you know, I want to do this, but I'm going to lay it at the foot of Christ and I'm going to see what he wants me to do. And for so many of us, we're like, well, why isn't God moving in my life? Why isn't he doing this in my life? Why isn't he doing that in my life? Well, when's the last time you pushed all your chips in and said, it's yours? Take it. And I'll follow. On the two points of that event, it happened on the same day that Jesus rose from the grave. The followers of Christ were confused and concerned, and they're grieving the loss of their master. These men were walking on the road, and Jesus approaches them and joins the conversation. They begin to tell Jesus about Jesus. Can you imagine? You're telling Jesus about himself. I think that's pretty awesome. They describe his life in verses 19 through 21. And it says this: Jesus of Nazareth, he was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And now the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. They also proclaimed that he had hoped that Jesus was the Messiah. They had hoped that he was the Messiah. And they trusted that he had been wished to be the redeemed for Israel. Sounds like they almost had a little bit of doubt. We do too sometimes. If you want to be honest with ourselves, sometimes we do. We have a little bit of doubt. But apparently they had heard the prophecy concerning his resurrection, because in verse 21 it says, and beside all this, today is the third day. And these things were done. So they knew that on the third day he was supposed to rise. Yet they're probably still, and I started thinking about that. What if I was back then, and I heard of Jesus, and I knew of Jesus, and then all this stuff had happened? I got to be honest with you, I would probably have a little bit of doubt too. I'm like, man, I'm hoping. I heard him say it. Now I'm just hoping. And they had heard eyewitnesses that had been a resurrection. It's like newsflash. There was, we told you there is, and now there was. But it's kind of like you heard your Aunt Sally won the lottery, but you're not for sure, right? It's like, oh, I heard you just don't know. It's like you think maybe. But then if you notice in verse 25 and 27, Jesus' response was this. Sometimes the way Jesus responds, I think, is just fantastic. He says to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ have suffered these things to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So during this Bible study, he had taken these guys from Moses to the prophets. You know, so Moses represents the law, and the law points people to Jesus, and the prophets revealed prophecy. They spoke of Jesus as Jesus revealed things to these men. So as Jesus was revealing this stuff to them, that fire was just churning. It's like when you're getting the barbecue pit ready and you got the coals on there and it's flaming, guys, and you got the lighter fluid, you hit it again, right? And now it's really flaming. You're like, I want to see what a little bit more would do. And you hit it again. It's, and your wife comes out like, you're burning the house down. You're like, no, I'm not. I'm just getting it started. All right, and next thing you know, you're out of lighter fluid and the fun is over. Now you have to start cooking. That's what this Bible study must have been like. As he was just one thing after another, it's like it was getting larger and it's getting larger and it's getting larger. I pray that'll happen to you today. That your fire will get ignited and it'll get larger and it'll get larger. And when he does, certain things tend to happen. Things happen when you get on fire for Christ. There will be a desire to connect with the Word of God. It'll be dripping all over you. You won't go anywhere without your Bible or pocket Bible. I got a lot of Bibles. King James Version, NIV Version. I got camouflage Bibles. I got waterproof Bibles. I got this little Bible here that Ronnie gave me that every time I wear this jacket, I got this little Bible here. Because I never know. Somebody may ask me something. I'll be like, I don't know. Let's see. You know, it's just there. And it fits perfectly right there. But a couple years ago, my dad gave me this Bible. It doesn't really look like much, right? This Bible was my grandma's Bible. She got it in 1955. That makes it 61 years old. All right. I have probably, my grandma probably had 12 or 13 grandchildren, me being one of them. I don't know how many great-grandchildren, probably a lot. Most of my family is up in Tennessee, a large majority on my dad's side of the family. So my grandmother passed away a few years ago. I went to visit my dad, and I call it Mission Memphis. And that's when we go, and I witness to my family, and I try to collect as many as I can, and I drag them to church. And when I come down, they're like, you're going to take us to church, aren't you? I'm like, yes. Yes, I am. But my dad gave me this Bible, and he said, out of everybody in the family, I knew that you would appreciate this Bible. I thought, wow, that's awesome. Out of all the grandkids, out of all the great-grandkids, and as an adult, I really didn't know my grandmother that well. She had moved up to Tennessee, so, you know, it's every other Christmas, maybe every other Thanksgiving, you kind of get up there and you get to see family. You don't get to see them as much as you can. So when I got back home, I started opening it up. I'm like, man, you notice it's taped together. It's just, she's had it for a long time. Well, when I started opening it, I called my dad, and I said, did you know this was in there? He's like, well, what is it? I was like, you didn't put something in Grandma's Bible? He said, no, what's in there? Now, out of all the people my dad could have gave his Bible to, he gave it to me. Inside my grandma's Bible is my birth certificate. That's what I thought. I thought surely he put it in there. He did not. My grandma did. And I thought it was pretty awesome. That Bible was meant for me. It's got my name in it. Which is pretty fascinating because my parents divorced when I was pretty young. So I don't really remember much about my childhood. I always thought I was born in Houston. I was born in Humble. And my birthday is on August the 5th, but it was almost on August the 4th because I was born at 12:23 a.m. Almost an August the 4th baby. And I always like the number 5, but all right. And it says here that my address at that time, let's see, was 16419 Truxton. So you know what I did? I got on Google Maps, and I wanted to see the house that my parents brought me home in. Because I don't remember my mom and dad being together when I was a kid. So I wanted to see, where did they take little Marco to from the hospital? Where do they take him to? And I looked up on Google Maps, and I just sat in front of my house on the computer, which is awesome, pretty cool thing to do. And I looked at my house for a while. It's a little shotgun, I guess, you know, what are the Humble homes or something. It was a little about as wide as these pews and about half as deep, and they painted it red, which was I don't know, it was kind of neat. But I got to go to my old house that my parents brought me home in, and had I not got this, I would have never known what my address was. And I asked my dad, and he wouldn't have known. He used to drink like a fish back then, so there was no telling what he would have said. But I thought it was fascinating that I got this Bible and the scriptures connected to me. Amen. Through my grandma's Bible. Right. So this is as old as this thing is, this is a treasure of mine right here. I'll probably will it to one of my children. They're going to be like, what am I going to do with grandma's Bible? So you better keep it. Your birth certificate might be in it. I don't know. But when you have a hunger for the things of God and the Word of God, not only do you connect to the Scriptures, but God's words calls to you. And it speaks to you personally. I know this through my own call of ministry. It speaks to you. So when these men were with Jesus and he opened up the Scripture to them, they had a burning desire. Jesus revealed the truth of Scripture, and the Scripture reveals the truth of Christ. Do you want to have that encounter with the risen Savior? If you do, then open his Word. See what it says for yourself. Just open it. I can't stress enough the importance of personal time in God's Word. Like I was telling Brother Ronnie, this is probably a 30-minute message. It may be an hour. I'm not sure. I didn't time it. We may be here till next Thanksgiving. And you'll be thankful that Pastor Steve is back, right? But spend time in his Word. Just read it. It's not enough to really just read it, but you really have to study it and really get into it. I run across people sometimes, well, I've read the Bible cover to cover. I'm like, what does it say? I don't know. I've read it cover to cover, and I had to do it again. And I had to do it again. And I had to do it again. And then I had to go back and do it again. And then I had to go back and have somebody else read it to me because I'm kind of weird that way and I like to listen to books on tape. So now I listen to the Bible on my phone and it just reads me the Bible. So again and again and again. But if you're looking for questions, and if you have answers, look to the Bible. The Bible will have the answers to your questions. And you can see Jesus Christ from Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelations 22:21. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to get a drink of water because if you're like me, I want to look back at Revelations and see if that's actually the last verse of the Bible. A lot of times when Pastor Steve is preaching, he gives out scripture. Most of the time I write down the scripture address and then I look it up. He gives another one. Sometimes I give them so fast I'm trying to write them up and then I look them up and I read them. So I figure if you're like me, and I just told you the last verse of the Bible is Revelations 22:21. A lot of twos in there. I would want to look that up and just make sure that I'm right. So go ahead and look at that real fast. You won't offend me. I looked it up. This is what it says. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, God's people. Amen. That's pretty cool. Your Bible may say different. Mine is NIV, and that's on page 1034 if you do have my Bible. All right, so now I'll get back to it after that. We're told that Jesus expounded on the word of these men. Again, the expounded, there's another long Greek word. It kind of sounds like Deuteronomy. I'm sure that's not how you say it. That's how I kind of pronounce it. And it says to explain thoroughly. Oftentimes in youth ministries, the kids will come up to me like, Brother Marco, you know why I like your preaching? I'm like, why? They're like, it's simple. That's fantastic. That's exactly what I want to hear. It's simple. Some people want to hear exciting sermons. I like to give them. Some people want to be entertained during the sermon. And if you've spent any time in youth ministry, you need to probably have a few object lessons to keep their attention. I like object lessons. I had a couple in mind today, but after counseling with my wife, I thought better of it. Believe me, I had a couple things I was going to have you do just to get you out of your comfort zone a little bit, and she advised me otherwise. So, I was basically going to make everybody sit on the first three rows. Not make, but ask. Maybe make. I can say that when I'm with the kids. All right, everybody, a lot of times this is what I do with the kids. I'll set the podium up in the front. They'll all sit in the back, and then I'll take the podium, and I'll move it around to the back. So now the ones who are sitting in the very back, they're now in the front. This podium was a little heavy. I couldn't do that. But I thought about it. Maybe we'll put it on. We put this on wheels, Jeremiah. I believe that the Word of God is expounded and people truly want to see Christ for who He is. I would rather you be informed on the truth than entertained with fluff. And in the day, that's what you want. You don't hear the latest joke or the latest story. You want to hear the truth of God by the Word of God. Then I realized that through the many sermons and preaching is I don't have to be a great communicator. I don't even have to be a great preacher. I don't have to be this awesome youth pastor who can just pack the pews with kids. I don't have to be this great youth communicator that I hear so much about. But I'm blessed to be able to bring a message that communicates the Word of God clearly. And I'm blessed to be able to tell you about the greatest message ever told. And what's really important and what I find fascinating, I tell kids all the time, is sometimes, no matter how we mess it up, the Holy Spirit is right there with us to intercede. So if I say something that isn't quite right, He's kind of played a buffer between me and you, and He's fixed it, which is fantastic. That or He just closes my lips and I can't talk anymore. But the Holy Spirit will intercede through prayer, through reading of His Word. If you don't understand something about the Bible, pray before you read it and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal God's Word to you, and He'll do it. When you get into His Word, when you get into the Bible, you'll have an encounter with God, and it'll change your life, and it'll change the path that you were originally on. First, you might have thought about kind of going down this way here as you're leaving the church. You think, well, I'm going to go down this path. This is the easiest path. This is the best path I can take. And then you start reading God's Word, and you really get into it, and you find that the easy path is really not where God wanted you to be, but He wants you to maybe climb over a few pews and say, excuse me, pardon me, and you may have to walk between some people and beside some people and with some people, and some of them may stumble and some of them may fall, and you may have to lift some people up, and you may have to do things that will get you outside of your comfort zone, and you may have to change where you sit, you may have to change who you talk to, you may have to change where you work, and you may have to change where you go to church. I did. When I left my Carroll Street church, I was comfortable there. I thought, I'll never be at another church besides Carroll Street. And I moved to 3-4 of the churches, and then God put me here. And now I think, I'll never be at another church besides... Amen. Careful. Because then God will say, I need you over here. I kid with my wife sometimes. She says, where do you think you get called? I said, I don't know, Alabama or Japan. And she's like, why Alabama? I'm like, so Japan. I know no Japanese, but it just sounds really cool. All right. It'll change your path, but the Word of God will also change your eternity. It'll change it. And when I read my Bible, you know what it says? It says that if I preach and if I share God's Word, not only will it change my eternity, but it'll change the eternity of my family and those who hear it. And so that's why I say Mission Memphis. My family's in Memphis. But not only do I try to get to Memphis, but I pray for those who are already in Memphis, like us, who are here at a Sunday morning at a church by my family's house. I pray for those people in that church that are around my family, because one of them will be at a gas station with my dad, or one of them may be at a restaurant with my four brothers. One of them may go into Walmart where my niece is at and start talking to her about Christ. You have that same effect for their family that's here. Somebody there is praying for you that you will witness to their family members that's here that they can't see, that they can't get to every day. They didn't make it here this Thanksgiving, so guess what? It's your job. You get to witness to them. You get to share all the stuff that you've been reading about and studying about in church and in Sunday school and in Bible study, and don't have analysis paralysis, but put it to work. Take it out. Share God's Word. Let's see what a couple more scriptures say about that. The scriptures require faith. Man, it requires faith, don't it? The literal translation of verse 25. Verse 25 says this. It says, "Then he said, O you fools, slow of heart to believe, all of the prophets have spoken." The translation for slow of heart is this: to have dull understanding. That kind of sounds like a term that we have here, which says, bless your heart. I've had a few say that to me before, bless your heart. Your grandmother said that, bless your heart. It also means to have a dull understanding. Right? So I've heard that quite a few times. Bless your heart. Jesus is saying you should have listened and you should have believed the prophets. Notice that Jesus did not show them his scars, and he didn't say that he showed Thomas. He shared with them the scriptures, and it's a matter of faith. We don't have the opportunity to see the nail prints on Jesus' hands, and we don't have the opportunity to see the thorns from the crown of thorns that he wore, and we've never seen the piercing on his side. Everything we know from Jesus comes from the Bible. Romans 10:17 says this: "So then faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you've been truly saved, it's because somebody has shared with you the precious, infallible word of God. And the Holy Spirit has moved on you. And if you're going to grow in your walk with the risen Savior, then it requires you to get into his word. Believing the word of God requires faith." Now consider this, kind of sum of it up, but it says, we read about a God that we've never seen, who sent his son on earth to be born of a virgin, to live a perfect, sinless life, a man who was 100% man, at the same time being 100% God. He was a savior of mankind. He died on a cross. Through dying on the death, he died for the sins of the whole world. And after this horrible death, he rose again on the third day. Then to ascend to heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father. And through his sacrifice, he has delivered us from hell, a place of torment that we have never seen. But he is coming back to take us to heaven, another place that we have never seen. I got to tell you, sign me up. I believed it. Sign me up. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And I know this in my heart of hearts. I know he is who he says he is. I know He is the Lord of Lords, and I know He is the King of Kings. I know it because, just like the song said, He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He says, I am His own. It requires faith. But through faith in the Scriptures, we can walk with a risen Lord. We can walk with Christ. The Christian life is faith and works go together. It's kind of like this. Billy Graham put it like this in one of his quotes I ran across when studying for this. He said like this, faith is taking the gospel in, and works is breathing the gospel out. So right now, you're taking it in. 2 minutes, if I can get done in 2 minutes, you'll be breathing it out. When you leave here, you're taking in, you're breathing it out. Taking it in and breathing it out. You're coming tonight, you're taking it in, you're breathing it out. You're taking it in and you're breathing it out. The measure of faith, to measure our faith, is not by our talk, but it's by our walk. You've always heard it said that you can't take anything out of this world. Right, you can't take the cars out of this world, you can't take the house, you can't take anything from this world into heaven. I want to disagree with that statement. You can. I can take you, and you can take those others with you, and you can take the ones that are sitting beside you in the pew, you can take the ones at Walmart, you can take your family, you can take your friends. Those are the ones that you can take to heaven with you, if you'll breathe it out. Not only do the Scriptures require faith, but that also require fulfillment of prophecy. The Scriptures reveal the fulfillment. In verses 26 and 27, it says this, ought not Christ have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and the prophets, He expounded to them all the Scriptures concerning Himself. And Jesus asked the question Himself. He said, ought not Christ have suffered these things? These things were prophesied. Isaiah 53:3 says this. It says, He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. So I tell you, if you're suffering today, and if you're going through a struggle today, which I think majority of people are going through some kind of struggle, some kind of suffering, whether it's a health issue, a financial issue, something. It's amazing. You'll kind of be with somebody for a long time, and then they'll tell you something, and you have spoken to this person for weeks, and you're like, I had no idea you were going through this. I had no idea that you were walking through this. And then they lay that on you, and you just never knew because they were smiling the whole time. Well, you're in good company here because Jesus said He was familiar with suffering. So I tell you, Jesus walks with you. Will you walk with Him? He's with you. But we've turned our backs, and sometimes we look the other way, but He was despised, and we didn't care. Yet it was our weakness that He carried. It was our sorrows that weighed Him down. And when He was crucified, we thought it was His troubles and His punishment, and that was the reason why. But when He was pierced for our rebellion, and He was crushed for our sins, and He was beaten so we could be whole, and He was whipped so we could be healed. The Scriptures, through prophecy, all show us what's to come. A lot of people want to know the future. What's the future? Read your Bible, it'll tell you. Quick outline, it says this, the rapture, the millennial reign, the judgment, and then eternity. That's what's coming. That's what's going to happen. And if you're saved, it's because somebody connected with the Word of God through the Holy Spirit. And if you desire to live a life pleasing to God, it will happen when you have a hunger for God's Word, for God's way and God's will in your life. And if you're going to fight that daily battle with the enemy, and if you're going to fight the daily struggles and the daily challenges and the daily woes and the daily, you put yours in there, you're going to fight it with a sword. And this is it. You're going to fight every battle on your knees, reading Scripture and praying, and you'll win. There will be a desire to commune with the Savior. Verse 32, which is the main verse here, says, did our hearts not burn with us that while we talked with him by the way? If you're honest, there's some people out there that you don't quite get along with. There's some out there that you may say that you don't like. But there's a lot of people out there that you want to spend time with. God bless you. And when your heart's on fire for Jesus, you'll have an intense desire to spend time with these people. You'll have a spiritual hunger to get involved. Verse 28-29 says, and they drew nigh in the village, whether they went and made him, they would gone further, but they constrained him, and saying that by with us it is toward evening, and the day was far spent, and we went to tarry with them. Here, these men came to their destination, and it appeared that Jesus was going to continue on his journey. And then all of a sudden their eyes were opened, and they seen him. They had no idea who they were with, yet they hungered for more. Jesus expounded the scriptures and revealed the truth about the Messiah. Have you ever been in a worship service where you wanted more? I know, probably not this one, right? You ever been in one where you wanted more? I know sometimes to me it seems like Pastor Steve will hit a new gear. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Well, it'll be going, and all of a sudden it's like almost time to go, and he's getting ready to wrap it up. I'm like, not yet. Not yet, because as the verses he's read, I've already read ahead. And then sometimes I'll read before what he's reading, and then I'm all over the place, and I'm taking notes. I'm like, it can't be over yet. It's not. It's man, just keep going. We'll be fine. I've sent through many business meetings where it just went on forever, and I was ready to get out, but not this one. Let's just keep on going, you know? And then it's like it's over. And then sometimes my wife is like, you're always in there, and you just it's time to go. I'm like, well, I don't know. maybe not yet. Or you're in that song service, and it's the same way. Jesus agreed to tarry with these men. And for you young people, to tarry means to hang out. Austin, if we're going to tarry, we're going to hang out. That's pretty cool, right? You get to hang out with Jesus. And then they broke bread, and their eyes were open, and then they knew it was Jesus. Now, when you have that burning desire and that spiritual hunger, he'll make his presence known. Whenever you're looking for him, you'll find him. Luke 19, 9 through 10 says this. Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house, because this is the Son of Man of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that was lost. I want to ask you, have you ever encountered that risen Savior? Have you had that encounter yet where as soon as you met with him, you could not wait to tell somebody else? You couldn't wait to get out of the doors of the church. You couldn't wait to get out there and share your Jesus with somebody. Have you had that experience yet? Have you ever accepted Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior? Have you ever walked with him? Have you ever talked with him? Have you looked to the scriptures, read what it says? Let the word of God speak to you. The prophecies have been fulfilled. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is coming back. And for my unsaved friends out there, I want you to know that you can never please God as long as you are still in the flesh. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short the glory of God. Amen. You need to be saved. Jesus is calling you. Jesus called it to be born again. So the Bible says, come humbly and by faith to Jesus. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to cleanse all that stuff that you've been carrying, all that stuff that you've been toting around. He'll cleanse you. He'll wash you of it. After all, he came to die for you, and he came to die for me, and he came to die for the sins of the world. Come to him today. He walks with you. Will you walk with him? You can walk with the risen and living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The invitation is always open. I'm sure, Jeremiah, you're going to sing a song, a closing song. Do you have anything planned there? May your life be one that continually portrays the life of Christ and a life that inhales the gospel.
and exhales the gospel. And may Jesus walk with you, and may you walk with him.
So while they're getting ready, I'll have a closing word of prayer while Jeremiah's coming down and Miss Karen's coming down. If you will, bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for each and every person here, Father. I pray for those who are here this morning. I pray, I just lift them up to you. I pray, Father, that this word was receptive to their hearts and to their minds. We pray right now as some are making decisions, Father, we just pray, Lord, that if there be one here that does not know you as Lord and as Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation, Father. Today would be the day that they walk with you and they talk with you. We thank you for Christ. I just thank you for the price that you paid on Calvary's cross. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. If you'd like to come down to the altar and pray, it's open.